Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. We can only imagine the conversation that the grapevines might have on the day that the pruner comes with his shears. I've had this old wood with me for so many years, says the first vine. I can't wait to get rid of it. Yes, yes, says the second vine. Last year I was so prolific that I grew branches here and there. I can't wait for the pruner to come and snip them off. The third vine says, and I grew by half last year, way too much. Could the pruner only come and cut me down by half? Almost as in a chorus, all the grapevines are anxious to have the shearer come and take their limbs and throw them into the fire. Really? Now, we don't know that grapevines can talk. It could be that botanists in 100 years will be able to tell us ways that grapevines actually talk to one another. I don't know this. But it would be pretty unusual for a healthy plant to relish the idea of the pruner's shears coming and snipping off a part of the plant. I guess we can understand maybe taking out dead wood, but to take out even old wood that has served us well for years and years, is it not true that everybody keeps old wood around us because it is comforting? For a grapevine to produce the maximum crop, it needs to be pruned. Experts tell us that the biggest problem that vine growers have is they don't prune heavily enough and take most. We've got a botanist right down here. He takes care of plants. He takes care of some of mine. Thank you, Charlie. You got to take a lot of the vine to prune it, to make it bear good fruit. A couple of years ago, the city of Rochester sent out professional arborists to do the trees near or on city land in my neighborhood. 5 trees were pruned in my neighborhood, including 2 crimson maples, which are cultivated from the Norway maple, trees Kathy and I planted more than 20 years ago. Over those years, I have pruned the tree. My problem is that I did not prune those trees aggressively enough, and the arborist was going to take care of that for us. Thank you. With his bucket truck and his chainsaw, he went in and below, around and through the tree. He cut out huge branches and smaller branches. The piles were getting bigger at the foot of the tree, and a lump rose in my throat. I couldn't wait for Kathy to come home. She practically cried when she saw the trees. But the arborist assured us that he was making a better tree that would stand the test of time. We people are neither grapevines nor trees. But Jesus would say that the Father is coming to prune us, even though we are not plants. In fact, our whole gospel text for this day is a horticulture lesson for the soul. We understand that God will cut out dead wood. That makes some sense. Old wood, maybe not so much sense because we like that old wood around us. But then we hear that God is even going to cut into thriving and growing branches, branches that are producing fruit. What is that all about? Like our imaginary conversation with the grapevines, it is unlikely that any group of people looks forward to the Father coming with the pruning shears and hacking off parts of who we believe we are. That includes the old growth that we think has served us well over time. It includes the prolific growth in every direction because we like to produce fruits everywhere. It even includes not being lopped off by half and losing significant limbs in the process. Jesus says God will come to do that, that God prunes in order to produce fruit. It is God's expectation that we will produce fruit for the kingdom. At the end of the gospel text for today, Jesus says, "My Father is glorified in this, that you produce much fruit and become my disciples." There is a stern warning implicit in this. Those who do not produce fruit are pruned away from the vine that is Christ and the church. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to sell everything and go be a missionary in a far-off land. It doesn't mean that you give up your good job in order to stand on a street corner in Rochester with a sign that promises heaven and threatens hell. It does mean that you will live your life and use your gifts conforming to God's expectations of the fruits of the kingdom. If you are living your life in order to offer misery to other people, the Bible would suggest that you are not producing the fruit of the kingdom. If Jesus is any example at all, the fruits that he produced when he was living on this earth came from his love and his care for all people. Jesus expects the same of us, that we will use our lives to care and for and love others. You know, Jesus didn't have a lot of time for that rich young man who came to him so proud that he had obeyed all the commandments from his youth. Jesus asked that he go and sell all that he had and give it to the poor, because the one thing that was keeping him from producing fruits of the kingdom were those riches. I think the Bible suggests that this might be one that is pruned away from the kingdom. Now, this has practical applications for us. In our day, and particularly in Rochester, with so many wonderful choices of churches, people, when they come new to a community, they do something called church shopping. You know, they are looking for a place that will fill their needs as best possible. That's a good way to pick out a church. But there is more to being a church member and a church than serving the members and the attenders. You may be here because of good children's programs or music or worship. Thank you. We are glad that you are here. But this place exists more than to fill you up. This place exists to send you out and produce the fruits of the kingdom. The second part is even harder. That the Father will come and prune living parts of us in order to produce more fruit. That's where those of us who are busy in the church will protest most loudly. We like to grow in every different way to produce different fruits. I am the chief culprit in this. I have never met a program that fits within the Bethel mission that I have not loved. Now, probably more common for most of you is the very frenzied lifestyle that many of us live in our day. It is because we have so many opportunities, blessed with so many opportunities every day, every week. When pastors get together to talk about the challenges that face the church of today, never does that conversation happen without that busy lifestyle ranking very near the top of those challenges that we have to meet. I mean, think about two generations ago, 60 years. How many things competed for our attention on a Sunday morning? Think of a generation ago, 30 years. Not that many things. Today, Sunday morning is just like any other day of the week. And every opportunity that you have on Wednesday or Saturday, you have on Sundays as well. Perhaps even more with youth sports added to the mix. There's so many things that we can do. And the modern family these days, any day of the week, seems to be going four different directions at once. Now, there are some who can truly thrive in that lifestyle. But I hear a lot of grumpiness about that as I talk to people, even as we sign up for one more thing. Would God prune some of that from our lives? Would God prune some time from electronics and TV? Would God prune some of the time that we spend at work? Would God prune the yoga class, the second book club, the Netflix account, the 3-acre yard? You fill in the blank from wherever your life is. I once had in a parish that I served, not Bethel, a woman that I will call Mary. Mary was a woman of exceptional talent. She could do anything. And because she could do anything, she did everything. Mattered not what we were doing at the church. She was in our Bible studies, our choirs. She would head up rummage sales and dinners. She taught Sunday school. She really did it all. She did it all until she ended up in a hospital bed due to exhaustion. The next few months we spent together trying to prune things from her life in the church and away from the church. Looked for a couple of passions that she might have. One of them was finance. She took over the church record keeping and transformed that in such a way that we were seeing fruits that we had never seen before she applied her exceptional talent to that one place. Now, it is true that the Sunday school lost a good teacher and the choir lost a good singer. Both noble pursuits and places where people find their principal passions. But in her case, focusing helped her produce fruits like never before. So Jesus says, the Father is coming to prune. Prune out dead wood, old wood, even to prune new growth so that we can bear more fruit. It is the Father's expectation that we will bear fruit in the world. That is not going to make us feel any happier about seeing the pruner's shears coming for us. But maybe in time, we will be delighted in our growth of discipleship. Amen. Hymn 516, please rise and sing.